Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
The National Director of Public Prosecutions, Advocate Shamila Batoy, stating that despite unrelenting pressure and the devastation of state capture, the turnaround of the National Prosecuting Authority has been remarkable. She was speaking during a media roundtable on the National Prosecuting Authority, their priorities and strategic initiatives. They held it at the entity's headquarters in Pretoria. Joining me on the line is Professor Lucas Minting, who is a director of the Dalla Omar Institute, as well as a co-founder of the Africa Criminal Justice Reform. Lucas, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Would you agree with Advocate Batoy that the turnaround of the NPA has been remarkable?
I think Advocate Batoy is very honest with us in saying that there has been an improvement, but she's also very clear that she underestimated the task at hand when she was appointed 4 years ago. And I think if we are observing from the side, one has to acknowledge that, yes, there has been improvements, but has enough been done to undo state capture, but also to fix the crisis in our district and regional courts? And I think then if we look at those two levels of courts, there are some serious problems there.
Those two levels of courts, are they not slightly... let me ask the question in a different way, actually, perhaps less clumsy from me. The prosecutors are obviously going there and bringing cases that need to be heard in front of judges, right? And the defense counsel, of course, will defend those accused. What influence, if any, can the NPA have in addressing the issues at those courts?
The first issue is really that the NPA is dependent on the police for investigating cases and bringing good evidence to court or to the NPA, and so that prosecutors can formulate charges and put those matters before court. But the police is in such disarray that we've seen a situation that, with regards to crime trends, we are in a situation worse off than we were 10, 20 years ago. So we see this trail of dysfunctionality originating from the police and then feeding through the entire system. And so we see over time an actual decline in the number of cases of being prosecuted. Even though the conviction rate remains very high, but the actual number of prosecutions are in decline. There's been a bit of an improvement in the last year's data that I've looked at, but it's not back yet at 2018-19 levels, so pre-COVID levels. And that's very worrying, that we are not turning the bend, and the number of murders are at a level that we last saw it's more than what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's really worrying.
She did note that over the past 5 years, they've put 700 government officials behind bars, that they've achieved an 88% conviction rate for complex commercial crimes, and that they've recovered more than 6 billion rand in stolen money out of the country's coffers. But she does acknowledge that they haven't gone after the big names yet, the big sharks, if you like, in the devising and the execution of state capture in this country.
Yeah. I think we all had the expectation following the Zondo Commission that there would be rapid progress in bringing the kingpins to book, to put it that way. And that hasn't happened. We've also not seen a rapid improvement in the number of financial and corruption cases being prosecuted. For example, in 2022-3, there were 364 convictions for complex financial crimes. But in 2018-19, there were double the number, 760. So there's, in fact, been a decline over the years, and that is the NPA's own data. So there are signs that things are not as good as we want them to be, and fully understands Africa Batoi's position that this is a really complex ship to turn around. And I think there are issues that need to be fixed around the architecture of the NPA. And the first issue is relates to the Constitution and the National Prosecuting Authority Act, because the Constitution requires that the NPA must act without fear, favor, or prejudice. Those are the three words. But the fact of the matter is that the NPA Act does not enable this. And the first reason for this is that the National Prosecuting Authority is a program within the budget of the Department of Justice. So it is not financially independent from the Department of Justice. So it gets its budget vote under that vote, or it gets its budget under that vote. It's not an independent vote from Parliament. The second issue is that as a result of that, it simply does not get enough money to do the job. And that has hamstrung the NPA significantly. The second major issue is that the NDP and her colleagues at the top, some 14 positions, are all appointed by the president, and some of them in consultation with the minister, but the appointment is made at that level, and there's no requirement that parliament must be consulted or civil society must be consulted, or that there's a process similar to the appointment of judges where it's done by the Judicial Services Commission to make a recommendation to the president. Now, this is entirely internal and hidden from public view. We saw an exception with the appointment of Advocate Batoi, where the president appointed the committee, but then it was again civil society who took that process before the courts so that the media can participate or at least observe the interview process. Similarly, the process of dismissal of the of the national director is hidden, is initiated from the president. So we will all remember a previous national director being dismissed, Advocate Vusi Pekori. And the president initiated that process. It went to Parliament at an ad hoc committee, and then based on an ordinary majority, the NDPP was relieved of his duties. In the case of Chapter 9 institutions, those people are protected by a two-thirds or 60% majority of the National Assembly. And so the appointment and dismissal process are sides of the same coin, because it guarantees tenure to the incumbent. But if the incumbent is vulnerable, that will have an impact on the process. And the last point I want to raise relates to, it's referred to as the Section 38 appointments. And these are people that the NDPP can appoint to assist with these, for example, complex financial crimes. So people who have special skills or experience, who will then come in and investigate or even conduct the prosecution or run the trial in complicated cases. But the problem there is that if this appointment has financial implications, it needs the consent of the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Finance. Now, one may say, well, that's reasonable. What of a scenario where the person being investigated is the minister's son or family member? Then it again raises this issue of independence. Can the national director pursue this case if she needs the minister's approval to go ahead? So, yes, there has been progress, but there are some serious challenges that we need to look at in terms of the legislative and constitutional architecture.
And those are important to reflect on. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, Lucas. Professor Lucas Manteng, director of the Dalaoma Institute, as well as co-founder of the Africa Criminal Justice Reform, reflecting on the work of the National Prosecuting Authority.